Hey, Nick.
Hey, Chase.
It's that time again.
What time is it?
Time for
Fuck This Place!
Bill, have you recently had a haircut?
I did this morning, actually. Yes.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, it looks pretty fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the summer cut. You know, and it's a warm 100%. One today. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you keep
and your a warm one forever?
One more time, Nick.
How do you keep your hair normally? Is it like super?
Lately it's just been this. It's out of laziness and just wanting to look like an angry person that nobody should talk to.
Yeah, trying to avoid those ladies in the department store trying to spray perfume on you, cologne on you. Really trying to avoid them.
Oh man, those ladies are totally out of a job. Or maybe
they're still there. I was at the mall the other day. Just I had to pick something up at the Apple store, and I had to like cut through Nordstrom's. And they're spraying, man. They're spraying.
That's good news. Well, I should intro the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fuck This Place, the podcast about jobs with Chase and Nick. My name is Chase.
My name is Nick, and with us today is the editor of the Hard Times website, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Conway.
Hey guys, hey. Glad to be here.
I think also I would like to point out, for those who are watching, not a lot of people. Again, we've established nobody watches this on YouTube. But if you did, you would find out that, again, the three people who are running or on this podcast are all apparently in the same apartment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Light backgrounds.
You guys had said earlier we don't want to be in the same room together, so we all just... thankfully, the walls are thin and we can just hear each other because these headphones don't work.
Yeah,
correct.
And the mics are not plugged in.
Anyway, so I guess it's an LA thing. I guess all the apartments are the same.
It's all eggshell. It's all eggshell.
Eggshell. That's what it is.
Bill, I love the Hard Times. I was really excited to have you on here. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, if people don't know what it is, you know, if you're, I don't know, living under a rock or just a regular person who doesn't know things, and that's fine. The Hard Times is an excellent satire website focused on a sort of punk perspective. Would you characterize that as
100% accurate right there? You nailed it.
Which is why Bill's skinhead look is so concerning.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. I actually heard, so I've gone in and out of like shaving my head since I was like 16, you know, like I'll grow my hair out. And, but I've been told by kids from my hometown that they used to be like afraid to talk to me like out skateboarding. I'm like, wait, really? Like just because of a shaved head? I had no idea. Like I'm 140 pounds. like the least intimidating guy, at least in my head. But apparently you have a shaved head and then people think things.
I just have I have people who have said they're afraid of me because I just have a permanent scowl in public that I've cultivated over years. Like it's been on purpose. I do not want people to talk to me.
Yeah. Chase will spit on the floor right in front of you.
I've seen him at open mics and I've gone up to say like, oh, hey, Chase. And he's given me a stare spit. And then I just kept walking. I walked right past him. Like, not today.
Stop chewing tobacco. And now I really just spit.
Yeah.
Bill, our first segment on every podcast is a segment we like to call Fuck This Place? Where we decide if we would work somewhere or not. So we actually looked up some Craigslist from your neck of the woods. You're from Hanson, Massachusetts originally?
That is correct.
So it's more of a Boston Craigslist soiree here. Not a ton of Hanson specific findings.
Well, I'd just like to point out that Ocean Spray cranberries, Ocean Spray juices was founded in Hanson, Massachusetts. Just saying that, you know, it's a big cranberry town.
So I like that.
Everybody's like, oh, Hanson, it's not much happens there. Hey, Ocean Spray happened there, baby.
Yeah.
But apparently they also support the prison labor. So fuck Ocean Spray.
All right. Yeah. We're going full circle.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Did you know people who were in the crayon industry growing up, or was it just sort of like a we established there, and like most of the cranberry growing is somewhere else?
All of Hanson is cranberry bogs. I didn't know anybody that was a bog master. And none of my friends had bog master relatives. But you would go down to the bogs, catch snapping turtles or whatever, until somebody like ran you off their property.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So, okay. So is there a big rivalry between prisoners and cranberries out there?
That is the main reason I think Ocean Spray got into it, is because the prison population has always hated cranberry juice, and this was just a punishment for them. I don't know where it comes from, but
cranberries got financial backing, and that's when it picked up. Big cran.
Also, I know that we're gonna get to these jobs, but cranberry juice, what the fuck is wrong with it?
I like cranberry juice. I like it okay, but I find I often have to mix it with some kind of alcohol, usually vodka.
That's what I'm saying. You have to do something else to it, and that doesn't make it.
I could understand why cranberries would have a bad attitude when they taste like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bill, I'm gonna read three job titles, mm-hmm. and you're gonna pick the one you don't want to look at, and then we'll look at the other two. Okay, so first job title is private yoga instructor for Littleton area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Job number two is computer geek, semicolon, part-time but ongoing. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is social media coordinator for summer camp. Mm-hmm. Which one do you not want to look at? Yoga instructor, computer geek, or social media?
Computer geek. We can get rid of that one.
You're unqualified. I get it. Fuck that place. And I say we look at private yoga instructor for Littleton area first. It's a short one. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting.
Okay. So again, title is private yoga instructor for Littleton area in Littleton, Massachusetts. And then there are three total sentences to this ad. We are looking for a yoga teacher to work with our son. Must be able to come to his residence. So a couple things we're concluding from these two sentences. And then the last sentence is experience with clients who are very out of shape and lots of patience a must. Exclamation point. And compensation says negotiable. Employment type says contract. And that is the post.
Yeah, that is interesting to me. So what I'm assuming here is this is one of those 600-pound people that can't get out of a door, and this possible. Yoga teacher is that path to freedom.
Could be. Yeah, or the mom is just fat shaming her son. Hard to tell.
It's like basically what's happening is like this mom is saying, hey, my son sucks and is difficult.
I mean, I'm not qualified for this, not a yoga instructor, but the number one reason why I would want nothing to do with this is because it is not the person for whom the service is needed that is asking for it.
Do you think the son knows about this?
That's my point.
I don't think he knows. I think this fit person's just going to show up one day with a couple of mats, and then all of a sudden he's getting put to work.
Uh-huh. Like I think that, you know, if somebody was needing like work with mobility or, you know, whatever, like I would think that, you know, I don't know if Craigslist is the perfect place for that, but I think you could start there if you wanted to. I just think that the fact that we have a mom. It's got to be a mom, right? Maybe it's a dad. Yeah. This could be a dad.
I feel like a dad, just for how dudes are, it would be a more militant sounding. Like, yeah. Looking for someone to make my son do push-ups, kind of. Oh,
you know? You know how it's the mom is because guys don't use exclamation points in like text. So
that's a good point.
Because I've been yelled at when I've had to text on behalf of my wife when she's like, hey, grab my phone and say an exclamation point at the end. Like, what happens if I don't? You know, it's like, then it does not count as a text. I think I'm angry.
Women are very conditioned to end e-communications with exclamation points. So I think you're right. It's a mom.
So you think that they're just like, the yoga teacher is going to show up, be like, hey, kid, put on your most comfortable clothes. And he's going to be like, done. And then they're just going to like, do you think it's like they're going to get right into it? Or like, do you think this is going to be a confrontation? Like, I feel like, what do you think the relationship is between the kid and the mom?
Not good.
this is a last resort sort of situation.
Well, also because she doesn't have any language in here that says us. you know, like, you know, like I was talking to him the other day and I'm posting this on his behalf because of this reason, you know, for instance, it could be that he has actual mobility issues and, you know, computing is difficult. Like that's fine. But again, you not land that out at all. I think again, this is just an angry mother.
Yeah. And if I had like a someone that I was trying to help out that had mobility issues or whatever, like had joint problems or whatever it is, I wouldn't describe it as out of shape.
Yeah, correct. That's what I'm saying.
I like how she did say very out of shape, not just like, you know, it needs work, you know, or anything like that. It's really painting a picture of what this person is. And it's definitely a mother and father, because we are looking for a yoga teacher for our son.
Very good point. Nice catch.
So the son, the son has no idea that this is happening, but they also have enough money to pay for private yoga instructions and probably are floating his rent judging by this.
Yeah. And that's actually, you know, it's another possible reason to take the job, because, you know, this, you know, your relationship with this person, this son, is yet to be defined. So it's possible that you show up and you're like, look, we're going to chill this out. Like, we're going to do some stretches, whatever. I'm going to charge your parents out the asshole and we're going to make this work for a while. What do you say? And he's like, fine, great.
Yeah, and he's like, puts down his hash browns. He's like, yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah, compensation is negotiable, as it says right there. So,
I think you're right that they are paying his rent. I don't know anything about Littleton, Massachusetts. Is this even? This isn't even Boston, really.
So far away. Yeah, it's northwestern Mass ish.
Sure.
So yeah, that when you get out of Boston, either North Shore or South Shore, it gets weird. It's a very just weird place. Like Massachusetts is a blue state, but it gets red, you know, like
So these are rich Republicans then.
It could be. I went to school nearby where Littleton is. I went to UMass Lowell for a semester and a half before deciding not to go to school anymore. And I'm done with education. Yeah. Education's not for me. I prefer to stay dumb, and it's worked out.
So it seems. Okay. So, I mean,
I can't get past this very out of shape. I feel like you can. She wrote, my son who is, or like my client who is out of shape, but then like went back, took a deep breath, and then wrote very out of shape. Yeah.
Because you're right. When you say very out of shape, again, they could have been a little more specific, you know, like, again, mobility issues or whatever, but instead chose simply just to dig as hard as possible into, I hate my son. This is all his fault.
I want to throw an idea out there that I believe that this is the second draft of the post that was toned down when given the maternal treatment. But the first draft was the dad being like, our fucking loser son needs to get in shape. And then and the only thing that was kept from that original post was the very out of shape part.
Right.
But they hit the same beats. And this was what was left. And that was the compromise that they came to.
You're right. They started at boot camp and then they ended up on yoga. And this is all, and I agree that this is all kind of after one big fight that they had with the son. And they've decided to team up.
There must be something in the way of the son ruined a vacation they were going to go on by being too fat or whatever.
Or just not wanting coronavirus or whatever.
But this was just the end of the line. Sure. And they were like, we're either kicking him out or we find a stranger up here to make him stretch.
So I guess I'm going to say fuck this place, because I don't want to talk to this mom. I just don't want to talk to the parents. I don't, because I think what's going to happen is, even if you can make it a good situation, these parents are going to insert themselves into every step of the process. They're going to have to call them and do reports after the actual session. So I'm saying no.
Yeah. I'm going to say no, but I am interested in seeing what video games this guy owns.
I would have to echo your sentiments, and I am similar in the fact that I do believe these people would want like status updates, like your pay is compensatory on results, you know, and when this person is beyond results, then you're just actually going to waste your time.
And they're, I don't think they're going to pay you enough as well, as one final dig here. They say negotiable. What they mean is we're going to negotiate the fuck out of it down.
What do you think that, what do you think that they're going with like contract? Do you think they're going to be like 10 years?
Yeah, contract. They mean, it's very difficult to say. But yeah, it's going to be in blood. That's for sure. Okay. So, our next post is social media coordinator for summer camp in Beckett, Massachusetts. And this is forgivable that it's obviously not in Boston because that's where the summer camps are. Let's take a look at these pictures before we get into the text here. So our first picture, pretty classic, just a what appears to be a dock at a lake. I wouldn't even call it a dock at a summer camp. It just sort of looks like a dock at a lake.
Yeah, those are... those are the typical, you get a splinter in your big toe sort of dock. And then
very splintery dock. 100% splintery dock. And then, of course, this is the East Coast, so it is surrounded by that sort of bucolic, beautiful green deciduous trees around the lake.
It's very
deciduous. Nice.
Very, that's right.
It's very Jason Voorhees-y kind of like.
Who's
camp.
Jason Voorhees?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. Yes. Like, yes.
Slasher at the camp murderer kind of a dock.
Yeah, no, it's, again, it's very, again, very plain dock, but ominous.
Yeah, ominous. Yeah.
Okay. So then the next picture, I'm guessing this would be like maybe a dining hall or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
like
that's probably dining hall.
A long building with shrubbery in front of it and trees behind it and some power lines.
This looks like where you go for camp, like the mess hall, and you eat waffles that actually aren't that good, but you never forget. You know?
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, they're just good because you're so hungry because you've been running for 4 days straight. nothing really to speak of this. It does look not bad, though. It doesn't look like a rundown camp or anything.
No.
That's still some pretty new-looking wood right there. It doesn't have that weird grayish tint to it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't look brand new either. You know, it doesn't look like they just built the camp yesterday, so the camp might have some history. We've got some stone here, or sorry, concrete steps that look a little old, haven't got a fresh coat of paint. But otherwise, not in a state of any sort of decay.
No, not an offensive place.
No. Then image three is an empty basketball court. Right by the lake, which seems
nice.
Why
wouldn't they put photos with people, campers, like enjoying the...
Bingo. Yeah. Correct. So far, no children, no people. Not a single person for scale or anything.
Or animals, like in the, there's not been a bird in any of the sky shots. And,
I've
never seen a basketball hoop that looks like, that has support system like this basketball hoop.
Have a strong back, we'll say.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, if this picture was incomplete isolation, not the third image of no people that we had seen, it's full sunlight. It doesn't look like a problem. It looks like a relatively clean basketball court beside a lake. And then image number four, completely empty field.
So if you're the social media manager for this place, how do you sell this? You know, like, how do you push this field?
Because if you saw this picture again in isolation and the basketball picture, you'd have no concept that this was a summer camp at all.
Yeah.
This looks like a Windows background.
Yeah. It's like, it's very much like in the way of like, if the movie The Shining was about a summer camp instead of a hotel in the winter. It's just this.
Yeah.
And I would
like to emphasize so far, this field is suspiciously flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know this specific area of Massachusetts. Maybe it's because I'm from Western North Carolina, where every summer camp is built halfway into the side of a mountain. but like to get like a big, you get every camp has maybe one big flat space where I'm from, maybe one. But either way, it's still in like it is pristine. It's beautiful. The grass, there's no weird yellow patches or anything.
Yeah, this looks like a sort of like a Jonestown sort of like makeshift landing strip almost sort of thing. Like this is where the plane lands to bring the cult into the spot.
Yeah, once the kids have arrived, that's when the leaders show up. And then the last image is, again, Yet another empty field.
Is this? Do you think this is the same field? I don't think it is, because there's more white flowers in this one. So you're this right. is their other different.
I think they have other I think field. They absolutely have a different field. And I will say, as a person who has been around summer camps, again, probably I don't know about the most frequently in this group, but I've certainly been frequently, even in adulthood. They love their fields.
Did they know you were there at the summer camp in adulthood? Like, it was all like
50-50.
Honestly, this looks very familiar. I could have been brainwashed.
Chase, can you zoom in on this corner? Like, not the corner, but see, yeah, you're already hovering over. What is that? That looks like the top of a roof.
It does look like this. Maybe this field is like on a little bit of a plateau here, and we can see. I can't zoom in anymore, but there is a little tiny green looking structure. I would imagine that is a cabin, you know, where people would stay. I would think that if you're going to have, I don't know, five whole pictures of trying to attract someone to work at your summer camp, you might include one of those cabins.
Do you think this person stood in one place and just did a circle and just like took a picture of what they saw around them? Or like, that's it. Those are the photos.
Oh, you think it's possible that, these are all just this is a big 360 panorama.
It could be. Well, yeah, but the lake is the only thing that throws it off. Like the four field shots, I think they stood in one spot and just turned in each direction.
I think you're right. We got a bit of a maple here, right? And then we turn. Mm-hmm. Maybe the same maple. Mm-hmm. Hard to say. But again, one thing, again, we haven't gotten anything about the social media aspect of this, but as a person who does do a little bit of social media management, these people seem like suckers. You could take pictures of fields and they would love it. So that could be, that could be useful. So I guess let's get into the post. Okay, so it says, Western Massachusetts summer residential camp seeks a social media coordinator to work at our camp for the summer of 2020. So far, they have not mentioned a single picture that was missing children. Date to be approximately July 1st through August 16th. Late season in Massachusetts, because school doesn't start till like Labor Day, right?
I think right now it's like the last week of August. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, also coronavirus. Who's ever going to go to school again?
Yeah, school's done.
Oh, but also, we'll double back on this at some point. You're running a summer camp this summer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That seems bad.
Well, I mean, they definitely have the social distancing down with these pictures.
Yeah. There's a child at the edge of every frame that we're seeing. Uh-huh. We know for a fact that
every one of those children is wearing like that secret window hat, that real big, like the Undertaker hat, real creepy Children of the Corn style, you know?
I've not seen the secret window. But it sounds terrifying. Okay, so we are currently seeking someone to coordinate our social media presence throughout this summer. This is an excellent opportunity for a person who enjoys working with children and being in a camp atmosphere. Yeah, you bet. Can't say that there are any kids, but I'm sure that there will be. This individual must be creative, have skills to make videos, organize photographs, and present coordinated, exciting presence for us online. Some experience with social media is a must. Yeah, some. Some would help. We offer a competitive salary, a beautiful outdoor work environment, and a great way to spend the summer. Housing, laundry service, and all-you-can-eat meal plan is included. Get those waffles. Then it says pay would be between $275 and $400 per week based on experience.
So why did they mention that first part about a competitive salary? And then just like lay it out there. Like now you can just go and check, call a bunch of other summer camps and be like, hey, is this right? You know, is this
right? And then the last little bit of the ad says, please email resume and or letter of interest. I do appreciate that they are willing to say resumes are not that necessary. We will ask to see examples of your work, because that really is probably a little more important. Please only apply if you are willing to spend the summer months in Western Massachusetts.
I'm out. I'm out there in Western Massachusetts. No thanks.
I'm not fully out yet, but I will say that I know that this $275 to $400 per week isn't like absolute garbage for a summer camp, you know, but it's still not great that the range is so big.
Yeah.
You could think, oh, I might get $400. Only one person is getting $400, and those people are not applying at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, to get hired for this job, do they just show you these five photos and say, would you use any of these? And if you say no, then they give you the job?
Yeah, again, I do think I'm certainly not in this position currently. But if I was like a college student, and again, this is coronavirus aside. Like, we'll get into that in a minute. But like coronavirus aside, if there was a summer camp who was like, yeah, you can be a social media coordinator and I'll pay you like about this much. I would consider taking that because you don't have to do any of the other shitty summer camp stuff, according to this ad. Now, I also think that summer camps are, you know, like labor factories for anybody who's there. So you can get roped into anything at any time.
Yeah,
but
those fields don't mow themselves.
They sure don't.
Social media coordinator.
but I also think that, again, I think these people have absolutely, and this is very important, I think, when you're doing any job where there's a soft, tangible good here, these people have absolutely no concept for what success in this would be like. And so you can really mold the position and the people in the way you'd want it to. Yeah. You could just be like, oh, we have four more followers. We gained four followers in 2 months.
Right.
Had a great summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. We're going viral with these four people that have shown up here.
You're just like, see what I did there? Now everyone knows how we're feeling.
that's what I'm saying. So I you know, again, these people do not have a creative eye at all, which is also they have the money to hire someone exclusively for social media, which says to me that like maybe the meals are decent. You know, they're still going to be your basic waffles, but like the bug juice could be out of this world.
Oof, yeah. You know what? As we established, Massachusetts big on cranberries in bogs. I mean, who knows? Maybe that bug juice is cranberry heavy and not the best. You never know. I'm not sure what they do out there in Beckett. So Massachusetts is a very small state, but it's weird living in California now where it's so gigantic. But if you know, you can drive 8 hours in California and not be out of it. But in Massachusetts, driving that 2 hours to Western Massachusetts is like,
it's 8 hours.
Yeah. If you're from like where Cape Cod is, then you never, ever drive out to Western Massachusetts unless like you've been forced to, or you pick up a great job over it as a social media coordinator.
Yeah. Coronavirus.
What is this? What is it?
I've heard of it. I'm just saying, if you're a summer camp that's planning on operating almost at all this summer, and you have made zero mention whatsoever of it in this post, huge red flag. If you were to say, for instance, we do have coronavirus going on, we all know that. We are taking steps to ensure that when campers arrive, like let's say, for instance, this happens, I feel like more in New England, but which this is New England, but you know, like it's an 8-week camp and the kids all show up and we're all going to be isolated together for that, you know, a 4-week period. That could be actually somewhat feasible, you know, in some way. But again, they have absolutely no mention of a global pandemic whatsoever. So
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like it doesn't say anything about campers will be tested prior to their arrival.
Will be tested?
Yeah.
I mean, in their defense, though, there are no people here. So I don't know that they have to mention it when you're the only person there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
There's something very bleak about that basketball court shot.
In particular, because this is the one you expect for people to be playing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like have one kid shooting from the 3-point line, just something,
or
anything.
One basketball on the ground, implying that someone's about to come pick it up.
Oh yeah. And like the thing about all these shots is like the way they are, it definitely implies that you are being watched. Like every shot feels a little crouched down and a little like this. Imagine there was a kid in that field. Do you think he knows there someone's taking a picture of him right now? Are you anywhere where it looks like maybe someone, you know, there's a camera around you? It's all very, very like voyeur.
it does have a like I see you that, sort of vibe. But yeah, you're right. A major like you could die in a variety of ways here. Goosebumps. Like they filmed a Goosebumps. TV show.
Oh, that's
here.
Great. Yeah, exactly. Those lights are taken from the set of Shawshank Redemption. I feel like.
So yeah, I mean, again, like. I'm sorry. I just want to zoom in on that tiny little
on
cabin.
That creepy little tiny cabin.
Why wouldn't they show the photo of the cabins? You know, just like here's what, you know, let's show everything on the camp just so you can social media coordinate better. Like here's what our living.
Yeah. What's the vibe here?
Like.
Yeah.
No idea. Again, if this was not a global pandemic, I think I'd be dumb enough to take this job. In lives past. Currently. For sure. No way. But I'm just saying, like, college, Chase, I would have been somewhat interested in this.
I would say
but again, it's not a mention of the fact that you're going to have a convening of children of what age. We have no idea, no concept of any of that. Mm-hmm. So, again, there's just too many red flags. So I'm going to say fuck this place.
Yeah, you're right, Chase. I'm out.
Yeah, it's creepy.
You need a convincing, yeah.
And anything so I know by a lake this is going to be very mosquito dense, and I'm way out just on that.
On mosquitoes alone.
Yeah, mosquitoes alone, yeah. I'm out.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on, guys?
Wanted to remind you that you can text the podcast anytime you want.
Night or day, whenever the hell you want.
It's fine. It's the number is 470-BAD-JOBS. The actual numbers are 470-223-5627. That's the number.
So yeah, anytime you want. Like I said, middle of the night, whenever. We don't got jobs right now. Whatever's going on with you is going on with us.
I mean, absolutely. Maybe you still have a job and it's like shitty. You can tell us about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have a job and it was shitty before.
Maybe you're getting one of those weird like temperature forehead checks right now.
For
and
sure.
You want to pull out your phone and just say, you know what, fuck you guys. I'm going to text 470-BAD-JOBS.
470-223-5627 is the number. That is the number. And you can also call us if you want, but I mean, whatever. It's your choice. That's the point here.
Bill, what is your very first job? What was your first job?
My first job back in Hanson, Massachusetts was at the Dunkin' Donuts on Route 58, famous Route 58. I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. It was the only route you could get to Cape Cod from Boston before Route 3. You guys aren't familiar with this?
Oh, man, my bad.
Yeah.
So the middle must have been a really busy Dunkin' Donuts then.
So it was. It was the only one. Dunkin' Donuts on the East Coast are everywhere.
Yes.
And it was the only one in this town. So,
but in particular in Massachusetts. I mean, like, they're everywhere on the East Coast, but like the Boston and the Massachusetts mindset is very Dunkin' heavy.
Oh, it's all Dunkin' all the time. And yeah, there was the only place to skateboard in my town was at the supermarket, which was called Shaw's, which was right past the Dunkin' Donuts. I broke my board skating one day and I was walking back and I was like, I have no money to buy another skateboard. I need to get a job. And so I walked in there 16 years old with a broken skateboard to pick up an application and I ended up that job.
It was one of those applications you just had to like literally write on, like they have the field where it's just like first name, last name. You just like literally write your shit in there.
That was more or less it. There was no, do you have any experience or anything?
Of
it was just, we need a warm body in here. And the training, I don't drink coffee. I've never been a coffee guy. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, yeah, just look at the machines and put the coffee in the cups. And I was like, okay, I made the worst iced coffees. Because years later, I saw how somebody actually makes an iced coffee. I was like, that's not how I made it at Dunkin' Donuts. Like, oh,
well,
I was doing
second,
that wrong.
Well, what is everybody else doing at Dunkin' Donuts with that iced coffee? Like,
I thought, the way I made it was something was fucked up with the cream or the milk or however I put it in there and it never looked right. And so I don't know if you could shake it up and it would be fine, but the way I was doing it was garbage. And I'm surprised that people didn't come back in and be like, what did you do to this?
This is
disgusting. Yeah. I've never had a coffee make me want to throw up so bad. But yeah, that was my first job. And there was a lot of shit that happened at that job because it was all 16-year-olds working there. And thinking back, you know, I had my manager who seemed old at the time. I bet she was 25, you know?
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, seemed ancient.
Yeah. Wait,
when you went in there, like, just because, like, was there, like, a bunch of broken skateboards everywhere? Like, all,
yeah.
all these kids' jobs are, like, it's just the way you put it. It sounded really like the, like the manager saw you walk in and was like, and sometimes the fish jumps in the boat.
Yeah, there's got another one.
There's a pile of discarded skateboards, broken rollerblades, a BMX bike that was like cut in half.
Everybody's just saving up doing. So they can get one more like wheel.
But yeah, since it was on like that main road, I remember. So Dunkin' Donuts has these frozen egg patties for their sausage, egg, and cheese and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And me and this other kid, he was from the next town over, Whitman, Massachusetts, home of Toll House cookies. Familiar with it.
Shout
out. Yeah. Yeah. And we would take the frozen egg patties and kind of bowl them out the door. So they would see if we could hit cars in the street at the red light. So we would whip them out if there were bowling balls and try to get cars hit, but that was our game that we
played. Well, hold on a second. How thick were these? Were they like a hockey puck thick? Not that thick.
Quarter inch. You know, you don't want to. You don't want a too much. You know, it was for a breakfast sandwich, so wasn't that. But they were perfectly round, and there was no inventory that was ever taken there, so it was just you know, if you could
infinite ammo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just so fucking crazy to me about, like, you know, about Dunkin' Donuts and other fast food, you know, like, you know, the prices are cheap, but not that cheap. But like, how much of that food, like, just think if this is just you doing a little bit of egg bowling, just think about what's happening at every other Dunkin' Donuts, every Dairy Queen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they can afford to lose so much food and still charge like $3 for a, you know, like a thing that looks like a breakfast sandwich, and they're still making money hand over fist.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, that job was a weird place, in a lot of reasons. I almost got in at least two fist fights working there.
Sounds very Massachusetts.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to get in fist fights in Massachusetts. And certainly this, the one time I remember most vividly was the way that, you know, you could work. There was only two people ever working there, unless it was the weekends when they were more busy, or the morning shifts. I never worked the morning shifts. I was always the, it was like, you know, like
you were a relief pitcher, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it was after you.
Yeah. After school, you know, get there at 6, work the night shift. Nobody ever came in, but this woman missed she was an elderly lady. She missed the order box for the drive-through. And so she just drove straight up to the window. Mm. And if that happens, there's no alert that, and so she had to like knock on the window, you know? And so she was frustrated. And I went over there like, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't drive to the thing that dings my earphone. I didn't know you were here. Mm-hmm. What do you need? And she wanted some sort of cruller or some stupid donut like that. Mm-hmm. You know, some old person donut.
Yeah. Yeah. I love crullers too.
So we had, you know, at Dunkin' Donuts, they had two different types of crullers. There was the marble cruller, and then there was the other one. I don't even know what it glazed. So I ring her up. I give her the cruller. She drives. Then she realizes I gave her the wrong cruller. She comes back. She's steaming, this lady. But the next
pickup, still in her car?
No, she had parked her car in the drive-thru and walked over to back to the window. Okay. But a pickup truck had driven up at this point, and... so this woman was giving me the business, and I was a 16-year-old, so I gave her attitude back. So yeah, now this guy in the pickup truck says, "You hold on right there, I'm coming in." And so he comes in starts yelling at me like, "If that was my grandmother, I wouldn't want you talking to her like that." I was like, "Okay." And like, I'm gonna talk to
you. But I say, did you say, "Hey, that's not my grandma"?
Oh, nor is it yours.
And so he came in and was like, "I need to talk to your manager. Like, give me the number." And I just wrote it down. Like, please get me fired. Like, I would love that. Give me an excuse not to work here anymore. Mm-hmm. But he was ready to come over the counter at me, because I disrespected this elderly woman's honor because she couldn't hit the drive-through quite right.
Well, did he just end up leave steaming mad?
Yeah, it was one of those.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not a tough guy by any means, but I was like, "Are you gonna beat up a 16-year-old? Like, do it."
Yeah. You know, like, we're wearing a hat, like a visor, you know. Yeah. So it's like, what are you gonna do? Beat the shit out of that guy?
I have a purple shirt on and khakis that are giant because they don't make khakis small enough for me. Yeah. Go ahead, beat me up. that was a lot of fun. And also around that time was when, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dunkin' Donuts enough, but they had this drink called the Dunkachino. I'm not sure if they still have
I've heard of a Dunkachino, yeah.
Yeah. And so the way you would make a Dunkachino is you just poured, like, it was like hot chocolate, basically. And it would come in bags, like a two-pound bag. And I stole so much of the Dunkachino and hot chocolate mix, and I would sell it out of the trunk of my car at my school and just being like, all right, guys, 2 cups hot water and then like 1/4 cup of this and you got a Dunkachino. So I was running like a cocaine business off of Dunkachino for a little while. And then I would have actually people coming into the store being like trying to get me to hook them up with like a bag and like, no, dude, we can't do it in the fucking store. Like, you know, like I can't steal the product here and then give it to you. Like
it's literally in the trunk of my car in the parking lot. I'll meet you on my break. Yeah.
You dumb shits.
I almost feel like you could then, like, if that guy was going to beat you up, you could be like, hey, yeah, go ahead, beat me up. See what happens to you. I'm a made man around here. I control the Dunkachinos. Okay. I'm an army of drug addicts coming after you.
I'm not that familiar with Dunkachinos, but one of the things I love about Dunkin' Donuts is that they are everything that, like, everything that people talk shit about Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts just openly is. Everyone's like, oh, Starbucks are just like sugary coffee drinks or whatever. And Starbucks for sure is that, but Starbucks just pretends that they're not. And Dunkin' Donuts is like, it's just hot water and sugar. Come on, get some.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts is like, no. We're sugary drinks.
Yeah, correct.
Well, yeah, I just appreciate that. They had a thing called the Coolada for a while.
Okay, I do remember the Coolada.
Yeah, and I remember them installing the machine, and I was never told how to make the Coolada. And as my iced coffees were already bad enough, I didn't know how to pull a lever and dispense this Coolada. So anytime someone came in, no matter what time of day it was, I would say the machine is broken. And like 100% of the time, they got pissed off at me.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
I got one earlier. Like, it's broken now. Like, I'm not using it. Terrible employee I was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Did you get a new skateboard?
I did. I was able to afford, I think I was able to get a new skateboard, and I was able to buy my first actual vehicle for $800 cash, which was a GMC Jimny 1988, four-wheel drive, baby.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Real piece of shit. Real piece of shit.
Real bucket. Well,
that's what that Dunkaroo money or whatever it was called. We'll get you.
Yeah, 100%, man. That hustle is how I got to a one-bedroom in Silver Lake.
Floated you all these years.
But yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts life was definitely tough. In the regard, so your friends would come in all the time and they would want free stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how I ended up getting fired. Mm-hmm. Was so I would always work the night shift, and my friends came in for a sausage, egg, and cheese or something. Mm-hmm. And I would make it up for them, never charge them anything. Mm-hmm. And I wrapped it up in the piece of shitty paper, threw it over to my friend Steve, and he intentionally let it, you know, hit the window and drop to the ground.
Steve, I hate you.
Fucking Steve. And then he picked it up and whipped it back at me behind the counter. So I was like, all right, I see what's happening. It's a food fight. And so
classic.
I had all the ammunition because I'm sitting by the donuts rack. So I start whipping things back at him and my friend Matt. Mm. And then Steve went into the bathroom and wet a roll of toilet paper, soaked it through. And then that was all of a sudden in play.
So, you got to use what you got if you're on the other side of the counter.
Yeah. He didn't have many options. So the place ends up getting completely trashed. I mean, it's just a war zone in there. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't actually the final shift. There was one shift after me, but my friends were already there and I didn't want to stay and clean it. So I was just like, I have to go. and I left, and the people that were after me were like, can you clean it? Like, no, I can't. My friends are here and I have
to
go.
Did you lock up or anything?
No. They were there. There was the next, shift was starting and I was leaving and it was like, hey, kind of your problem. But I sort of forgot that everything was on camera and sure enough, I got fired.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It was a very justifiable firing. Those same friends, we actually had a plan to rob the Dunkin' Donuts at one point.
Okay.
There was the cameras, and there was one blind spot on the cameras where you would walk under. So they were like, you know, there's a door and they pointed in each direction.
Yeah.
So there was a blind spot underneath the cameras. And so the plan was that I would pour a cup of hot coffee and then I would walk to the blind spot and leave that cup of hot coffee there to cool off. All right.
Sure.
And then later in the day, these friends would come order a cup of hot coffee. And when I was transferring it from the one room to the other, I would grab the cooled off part of the coffee. And then they would, as I opened the register, they would splash me with the cooled off stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So the camera would see me drop to the ground saying, oh, I've been burned. Then they would reach in and grab all the money and run out of the store, which was the plan. And we're just trying to think, like, how long does it need to sit so it will redden my face, but not actually give me like blisters, you know? Like, I don't want second degree
burns.
Yeah,
I do a little math on that.
Yeah, I mean, for like $175 maybe.
Correct.
Yeah. But then we bailed on that plan when a friend of mine like bumped into me at the skate shop, 2 days before we're going to do it. It's like, oh, I heard your plan to knock off the Dunkin' Donuts. Like, all right, who's fucking talking? You know, like, it's over. So yeah, there was a rat somewhere.
And, right. I love like, that the plan, the linchpin of the plan involved really good acting from
yeah. Him. Yeah, yeah. It's like a, it's like if an Ocean's 11 movie only had two steps.
Yeah. It's like, all right, it's not hot.
Yeah.
You could, here's the other thing is they couldn't like the other thing is they could have just you like that hot coffee. I see that they had that. You had to have the swap happen at that place. They couldn't just walked in with a. They could have just had an airsoft pistol, though, you know?
Held
you up.
I would have given the money over if they were just like, hey, give me the money, you know?
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
and then,
sure.
Like, when the cops come, like, they said they had a knife.
Absolutely.
Know. Yeah. It is funny to me, though, that, like, you abandoned your plan when you found out one of these kids that was willing to rob a business with you turned out to not be trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, he'll do bad things, but he'll never do bad things to me.
After I had gotten fired, like a week later, we're same friends that we were going to rob the place. We were driving by and I saw that the new guy that they had hired was like mopping up the floor. My replacement was mopping the floor. And I thought in my head, I was like, I bet he didn't lock the front door. Like just knowing this, like I know the ins and outs of this Dunkin' Donuts place. I bet he didn't lock the front door. Mm-hmm. So let's park around the CVS that's over here for an hour. And I'm going to go check on that door. And if it's open, we're getting the cash for the day. Sure enough, the door was open, but they changed the register password to open up
like, very smart, four-digit
code.
Very smart.
Yeah. And so I was in the Dunkin' Donuts and I had put a milk cap over the camera so it couldn't be identified. You know, I had that milk cap over that thing.
Of course,
it was all thought out. So this is like Ocean's 11 if it had two more steps. yeah. So we're up to four. We're up to four steps. But yeah, never actually got to rob it. Heard Bummer. From somebody else that another acquaintance of mine was able to rob it because they broke in and kicked the door down. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was our $200. Yeah.
Or you were like, oh, brilliant, brilliant. Broke in, kicked the door down.
Yeah, they were the masterminds. I'm
no milk caps, nothing. No Oscar-winning performances. Yeah, yeah.
The plan is you just don't care about the cameras. Oh.
Did you, so far, it doesn't sound like you've sold a single donut.
The one story you have, they come back and someone tries to beat you up.
So that's like, funny thing is coffee I was bad at. I was an expert donut salesman though. I
sure.
Oh really?
Yeah. Oh,
well, it's just, munchkins baby.
Yeah, the munchkins, everything, just that's why they kept me around for the 3 to 6 months, however long I worked there. It's because I knew how to push a donut.
Okay, that was your first job. What would you say then is the worst job you've ever had?
So worst job I ever had, so I went to a vocational high school where I was did electrical, like so I could become an electrician. So the worst job I ever had was an apprentice electrician for this one company, Dan Cleary Electric in Weymouth, Massachusetts, mainly because that guy was just a giant piece of shit, you know, just
Dan Weymouth.
Yeah.
Or no, Dan. What was his
Dan,
name?
Dan Cleary from
Dan
Weymouth.
Dan Cleary.
He was just that type of guy that had that mentality, which I hate. It's like, oh, well, when I was an apprentice, I got tortured. So I'm going to torture you. You
yeah,
know,
like shit rolls downhill kind of a thing.
Yeah. And he would be the guy, like when a lot of our jobs were in Boston. So we drive the 40 minutes in and he's like, I will pay you for the drive in, but we you're not getting any money for the drive back. And on the drive back, we would always stop and pick up supplies. So all of a sudden I'm loading a truck for like an hour for free,
you know,
like, cool. Like this is off the clock.
So what was this? What was the thing? What were you actually doing? What did this guy do?
So he was an electrician and I was his apprentice. So basically, he would tell me where to drill the holes and I would run the wires and he would, I would do all the grunt work and he would do the stuff that an actual electrician has to do. Like, I mean, I could wire your house right now if you needed it. It might burn down in like 5 years from my
That's
knowledge.
All any electrician can promise.
Yeah. But he, yeah, so he
was it home construction?
Yeah, it was mainly residential stuff. And, I mean, you said you're from North Carolina.
That's correct.
Winters and summers on the East Coast are not fun. It was always, hey, we need to run this wire in the attic. Guess who's going up there? And, you know, it's August 1st and you're crawling through insulation. It's like, and hey, they just told us a family of squirrels murdered each other up there the other day. So watch out for the murdered corpses of squirrels. And yeah, so it was crawling through fiberglass insulation, run one stupid thing so somebody could have cable TV in their den, you know?
Right.
And I just remember after that job going home and like taking a razor blade and just picking the splinters out of my knuckles because it was a lot of reaching into old walls and just getting destroyed by splinters. And so I would just go home and I would just sit there with a razor blade and just cut them out every night. And then you'd have to take a cold shower to open up your pores so all the insulation would get out of your skin so it wouldn't be as itchy. And strangely enough, I didn't want to continue pursuing that career.
Well, how old were you again?
19.
So you had finished high school and this was like, I'm going to try and become had you like done electrician stuff in high school?
Yeah, that's, the vocational school, like that was my
chosen thing.
Yeah. And so I had already had to like, you need a certain amount of hours to become a licensed electrician and the school gave you like a third of those hours and you needed to be out in the field for another amount of time. And I quit that job and just started working at Electrical Supply House, which sells things to electricians. And those are the jobs that I had for most of my adult life, just because it's a very specific knowledge base. So if everything ever goes like to shit, it's like, oh, I know I can just go apply at some random.
Sure. And everybody needs it. You know, everybody needs electric shit. And it's like, oh, this is a this converter or like a fucking end cap to that, you know,
no,
like whatever.
No, you've been in the business. Sounds like you know the lingo.
I've done some electric work. I used to run a tourism business that had an electric, like giant, like bike thing. Uh-huh. And so we had to deal with like 120 volts all the time. And it was scary as fuck. But I learned how to do electric shit. Like, oh, there's a big difference between this gauge and this gauge of wire, et cetera, et cetera.
That was always the fun part about getting shocked by 120 volts as it happened all the time. Like every person that's worked in the electrical trade just gets shocked. And my teachers in high school, they couldn't even feel 120 volts anymore.
Oh my fucking God. That's so bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So because there was when I was in high school, I was the number one student in my class. So I got special opportunities to work with my teachers. And they actually hired me for the summer job as a maintenance electrician with them. So I was just doing the grunt work for them. But it was a much more pleasant of a situation. And I got to see my teachers be human, which was also creepy and like kind of like, oh, adults are weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah.
But he was, I remember my teacher, who's a very large man, very obese, a live wire was hitting him in the back of the neck and he didn't even realize it. It was just like hanging from the ceiling and it was like, and he just like kept like swatting at it. Like there was like a bug there. And I was like, that's live, man. Like, and he's like, oh yeah, I don't feel 120 anymore. I was like, fuck. Like,
that's not good.
That's weird. It's super weird.
I got hit by like 120 and I was like, hey guys, can you test this? And like, they would just like grab it with their hands and be like, yeah, it's live. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's so great when you like, I mean, I would just imagine that at least to some degree, when you're learning about it, there's like a real emphasis on safety or like protocol. And then you get into it and it's just like, no, I've been muscle fucking my way through this field for 30 fucking years, you know?
Yeah, there's like four different tools you're supposed to use to like strip a wire, make a splice and all this stuff. But once you're out in the trade, you just use the one pair of like linesman's pliers and you rip the sheathing off with that. You strip the wires with it and just hack the shit out of it. And if you have, if you've done it enough, you can do it with a delicate enough touch, but
yeah,
Cleary Electric, that guy, he was a prick, and he can burn.
Was it pretty much just you and him working together? Like, did you have a bigger team than that?
It was a father-son situation, and his father was aging out of the business, so his son was his taking son
was,
over.
Was the dickwad who was helping, or supposedly training you.
Yeah, and he was kind of taking over the business as a whole. He was getting the accounts and all that, and they had one other guy that worked there, but he was already kind of a journeyman electrician, so he was out able to just go out on his own, but he wasn't enough to like take on an apprentice, I was with the master electrician and he was just a prick. And at that point I had my hair was probably the longest I'd ever had it. He'd be like, you need to cut your hair. And be like, I'm trying to just break my own personal record, you know, of hair growth. Mm-hmm. And he got so mad at that for some reason. Like, he would not accept that I just didn't want to cut my hair. It was
this person
a dumb
is
haircut.
19. They have no idea what they're capable of. They're just like letting hair go do hair.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's just like touching batteries to his tongue for fun and just like,
you just cut your hair.
Cut your hair. Da, da, da. Cut your hair.
Yeah, it's what all electricians do just to develop a callus. They need to constantly, if you can build yourself up to being able to not feel 240 volts, then you've really known you can move up your spot in the electrical hierarchy.
100%. Put it right on the balls. How long did you do this?
For that job, probably about a year.
I
quit by just telling them I needed to go on vacation. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going on vacation, and then I just never like came back.
The Tony Klein. the soft quit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic move.
I had already had like the supply house job, like the next thing like lined up, and it was just like, all right, I'm not going to give you 2 weeks. I don't need your recommendation.
You don't even like me, dude. You know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't recommend. He was the only, so all of my bosses that I've ever had other than Dunkin' Donuts and this guy would like, when I quit that job, were like bummed. They were like, fuck no. Like what can we do? Like more money? What does it do? Keep you here? It's like, well, nothing can keep me here. I'm quitting. Like I'm moving out of state, you see. But that was the only guy that would probably be like, no, that Conway kid, that fruit, not a chance. Like, and the thing about it was like, his dad was like the best dude, you know? So if I was like under him, it probably wouldn't have been, even his, though his dad was more old school than this guy. Like his dad was probably more empathetic towards
old school, but fair. Like there's that, I think you're right. There's that old school, like super duper tough bullshit motherfucker. And there's also the old school person who's like, yeah, people are new to this, you know? Yeah. Like, sure, you're still going to, like, you're gonna lick batteries for the rest of your life, but let me show you how.
He's like, look, we're all gonna snap rubber bands in our eyeballs for fun at some point, okay? But
we gotta do it.
Take time.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever had this experience, but this is like very trade specific, like, and especially in the electrical world where they try to embarrass you by giving you fake products to go order from professionals like at the supply house and be like, oh, the bucket of steam, or go get that left-handed screwdriver, the wire stretcher, you know.
Like, wow, that sounds dumb as fuck.
The light bulb repair kit was another one. All these things are just meant to degrade you, and they everybody laughs. And I remember when I was working at a supply house when I lived in Portland, somebody called up and they asked for like the light bulb repair kit, and I could tell they were like a young kid, and I was like, oh, hey dude, I'm on the phone with you. The person that put you on the phone is trying to embarrass you. Here's what you do. Go and tell them these three things on the way back, just to show them that you're not like playing around. Like you can, maybe you want to joke around and be like, oh, hey, yeah, they said the light bulb repair kit was on back order, but they got the bucket of steam charged to your account right now. You know, like,
right.
But I told them, like, say like, hey, just tell them that, the Oaf Electric has, charged the Hilti, drill to their account. Like it's this $500 drill, you know, like
right,
you know, just to like spook them back, you know. It's like, I hate, there's nothing I hate more than that. It happened to me, so I'm going to do it to this person thing, as opposed to like, oh, that sucked when it happened to me. I'll never do that to somebody. Instead, I will encourage them. Like, I hate that attitude so much. But it's very prevalent in the trades. But yeah, so that was the worst job that I had. And it was mainly just terrible boss, terrible like working situation, because there was no way I could ever, I could only fuck up. If I did everything right, you know, then it was just like, that was expected. But
well, Bill, we always make sure before we end the pod to ask three questions. And the first one we've sort of gotten, you know, sort of halfway answer is, when were you done for the worst job? When were you done and how did you quit? So like, when did you know you had to leave before you decided, oh yeah, fucking, well, I'm going to go on vacation and get this. Or, and I assume you started applying to this other job.
Yeah. So I was actually, it was a weird situation where I had bumped into my old teachers and I had heard them, and I was at my old vocational schools like over the summer, and somebody left a message on their answering machine. Hey, I need a person to work at the supply house. Do you have anybody you could recommend? And I said to him, like, I'm going to take that job, like knowing that I'm going to quit my job and I will take that one instead. And I had a vacation planned to like Europe for the first time. So I was like, I just told them, hey, I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks. And then I told the other guy, I can start, you know, May 3rd or whatever.
Right.
And came back and then just never had any contact with them. So that's, it was fortuitous.
You saw an out and you were like, I am taking that out. No question.
And my teacher was one of the guys that was like, well, you know, you don't want, working at a supply house is lower than being a licensed electrician. You get paid less. It's just lower, but it's so much easier. More consistent, you know, it's like I go to one place every day instead of having to drive all over Massachusetts trying to figure 100%. Out, you know.
And you work in air conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's a big fucking difference, you know, if you're going to work for 8 fucking hours, you know, like, oh, I'm working in air conditioning. And yeah, the biggest concern I have is that the register's off or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're missing 10 cents. Here, have it. I don't big care.
Whoop. Yeah.
Okay. Well, question number two is, what's one good thing you took from that very bad job?
The good thing I took from that very bad job would probably be just making, like I said, that attitude about not wanting, oh, I went through this, so I'm going to make somebody else go through it, and just having that empathy in any job I've had where if I was training somebody, it was never giving them bad information for me to laugh at. It was just, you know, like, let's all, we're in this together, you know, let's not pretend that this is all just about one person. So probably, and that's something that I've just carried on, you know, like
basic empathy.
Yes, the most basic human trait that we should all have. I got that from this job.
Right. And also, I mean, I'd say, you know, in another way, like you, I mean, you said that the working at electrical supply stores was like a pretty good arc for a long time. So I, you know, you kind of got on that track too.
Yeah, it's definitely I lived in Massachusetts and I moved to San Francisco, got an electrical supply house job there, moved up to Portland, got an electrical supply house job there, moved down to Los Angeles, got a hardware store job, but also while rejecting another place because it was just a little bit further away. So this job has been easy for me to move cities and never be like, what am I going to do? You know, it's just.
Right. I mean, that's an important, you know, leveraging point. Like I think a lot of creatives, myself included, for sure, get the wrong jobs, you know, they get jobs they think are going to be like, oh, a certain amount of flexibility or like a certain like sort of shadow version of their skill set in that creative field, you know, like, you know, I did a lot of tour guiding and it's like tour guiding just sucks dick. It's like, well, you're good at you're good at smiling at people. Well, guess fucking what? Do it for years. So, you know, I just, you know, it's an important thing to note, you know, I'm not saying that people are taking tips from this podcast, but, it isn't a bad one if you were taking tips. Okay. Final question, not related to that bad job. And you know, you've been able to essentially in the last couple of years, I think you were able to walk away from the electrical work and now you're just Hard Times in It and other comedy ventures, correct?
Yeah. So I was able, so through the, when Hard Times started in December 2014 mm-hmm. and I was working in a supply house in Portland, and a lot of that job is warehouse work, but also you're sitting at a computer a lot. Yeah. And my boss was very like, I had this young guy come in as a boss, and I just kind of during downtime, I was like, hey, this is what I work on in the downtime. And I hope you're cool with that. And he's like, this is awesome. Like, you know, like this is right. going to be like what you do, you know? So I was like, cool. So as long as I do my responsibilities, like answer the phones and get orders pulled and really only do this in downtime, then we're cool. And he's like, yeah, that's cool.
Tight, dude. To have a manager that supports that.
Yeah. And him and me and that guy are still friends. Like I have a Netflix and he's on the login, you know, like, I,
okay, good friend.
Yeah. So it was nice to have that, but the Hard Times was always me like finding downtime at work and then after work, you know, just working on it.
Yeah.
And then April 2019, I was finally able to go full time doing mm-hmm. that. So I basically created my own dream job in a way. So I just work from home now.
Awesome.
Writing awesome. Punk jokes and we just
and editing.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I guess the question, sometimes I try to shape this question around people because it's especially in coronavirus times, it's a weird question. But if like comedy was over, if Hard Times was over, you had to pick like a new job or like a new direction, what might that be?
Is money a factor or is this just something that, okay.
It's for sure a factor. Yeah.
All right. So
it's not like, Nick and I used to argue over this question. We settled on it finally, a while back, but this isn't like, oh, I would just pick up, you know, my dream job of like astronauting.
Right.
Unless you think that you have a path to that, which, you know, I'd be happy to support.
NFL lineman for me would be what I would go with my size, speed, and awareness. that's kind of tough.
If you had to pivot, it could be that it's just like, I'd just go back to electrical shit and figure it out. Yeah. I mean,
that would probably be where I go. So I've actually had like this argument with my other Hard Times co-founder where I like, if I have to work and I'm reporting to a place, I want easily repeatable tasks to do 100%. Just to waste the clock down. I don't want to use brain energy at my job that I'm working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So pulling orders in a warehouse, I'm in, you know, like if I can pop a podcast, you know, my headphones in to listen to podcasts for 8 hours while I'm just reading off of a sheet of paper and don't have to think about it. 100%. That's the job I would prefer over anything else. If creativity is not on the table
actual job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe going back to that, I mean, question, is there like a, if you were to try and make it, I don't know, more of a thing, is there like a vertical that you could ascend, like warehouse manager? Would you be interested in that? Or you're like, I really just want to pull the fucking stuff.
So throughout my career in that, there was always times where they're like, hey, we want to promote you to inside sales. So you'll be sitting at a desk, but that would be me talking on the phone to people all day. Oh, and I hate that idea. Like, I'd tell them like, I know that's a much more money. And it was like living in San Francisco at the time where I would need that money. And I was like, I would rather just pull orders.
I'd rather move.
And then that's actually is what happened when I quit my San Francisco job. They were like, hey, we're promoting you to inside sales. Like, I'm actually moving to Portland next week. Sorry, I haven't told you sooner. But when I was working in Portland at a particular warehouse, they kept wanting to promote me to sales as well because of how well I knew the material from my years. And I was like, no, I don't care about sales. Like,
correct.
This is all I want to do. And I will continue to work hard here out here for you. That's
a promise.
Is that fine?
Yeah.
Like, I don't slack off out here. Every order's pulled. And I don't make mistakes. Just leave me alone. And the guy I worked with, like the warehouse manager, actually told the bosses, you know, because it was like a family business. He's like, stop trying to promote Bill. He doesn't want to.
Yeah. Well, it's an important boundary to draw because it does happen when people are like, you know, go-getters, or they just like do their job well, or just like even just don't suck absolute fucking dick at it. Mm-hmm. That people are always like, I want to promote you into the thing that is not that job.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're super good at this? Well, how about you manage people to do that? You're like, well, I don't know how to manage people to do
that.
I just
had
to do that.
There is a career path in, you know, that, like, you warehouse manager, branch manager, sales, you know, and you can make,
but it's always going towards sales, though, is the problem. Yeah, I see.
Right. I worked with, like, legit, like, millionaire dudes, like, and yeah, they would just hustle, like, they would come in on their Bluetooth, grab coffee, and be like, oh, you know, and then be like, oh, I'm gonna call, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't seem fun. You know?
They're just like, they're just like calling construction companies and fucking, like, signing contracts and shit, but it's always about the next sale.
They're going out for expensive lunches and stuff like that, you know, at like the steakhouse, and it's like, no, I'm vegan, I can't tell people to, like, come to the vegan spot, you know, for selling. I'm like, fuck you, like, I would never take deals off, you know. I don't care,
buy our shit. And by the way, have you ever had a vegan corn dog? It's the fucking bomb.
But yeah, so if I ever go back into that industry, just give me the lowest level, but try to pay me a little bit more because of my experience.
Sure. And just strategize where that is based off of cost of living. Yeah. I guess. Well, thank you, Bill. That's great. Where can people find you on the internet if you'd like to be found?
Everybody just go to thehardtimes.net and follow The Hard Times on, you know, your Instagrams and your Twitters, or nobody uses Facebook anymore because it's just right wing propaganda and just
but the worst, maybe they could use, maybe you could use the follows on Facebook, just you know, or the likes.
So yeah, it's facebook.com/thehardtimesnews. On Instagram, it's The Hard Times News. On Twitter, it's much different, it's Real Punk News. And that's it, just The Hard Times,
and we'll have links to all that in the show notes as well. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much,
guys.
I think fuck this place.
Yeah, fuck this place.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to share the podcast and subscribe if you haven't. Subscribe. I feel like I should just tell you, I have COVID. Don't worry, we'll talk about it on the next podcast. I'm fine. Thank you for your concern. I do have coronavirus, so, you know, be careful. Just be careful. I don't know how you could be more careful than you are right now, but just continue the same careful that you've been. Okay, bye for now.